Today's Shir Masechta Nida Daf Chaf Chef. We will begin on Daf Chaf Zayin on the Beis at the first wide line with Shlok Hashamar. The way most Rishonim explain this Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, the Shlok Hashamar now comes again to address the issue that we have been discussing in the previous year primarily, and that is if there's a Shilya in the home. Rav Shimon said that the house remains tahar, and the question is why. Rish Lakish Amar, Shvir Shetefu B'Meimav, if you have an embryo that was dissolved in its liquid, Nasa Kamishas Nablitz Rasa, it's considered as if it's completely obliterated, and since it's considered as if it's completely obliterated, that's why there is no tumor. So as I said, most Mefarshim are of the opinion that Rish Lakish is coming to explain what Rish Shimon held, why Rish Shimon held that a Shilya is not Metama, because Rish Lakish explains once it has absolutely no form, once the body has absolutely no form, it doesn't give off Tumma. And the proof that that is what Rish Lakish means to say is because the fact that the Gemara uses the words Rish Lakish Omar rather than saying Omar Rish Lakish is an indication that that's what the Gemara means to do here. Furthermore, why does Rish Lakish not agree with what Rav Yochanan said? Rav Yochanan said that the reason that the Shilya is not Metamei, according to Rav Shimon, is because it becomes bottled in the other liquids that emerge from the mother when she discharged the Shilya. Explained the Mefarshim, as we discussed in the previous year as well, because Rish Lakish is of the opinion that when it comes to Tumah, we don't apply the concept of Bittul. There are, however, Rishonim that say that what our Gemara is doing now with Rish Lakish is not addressing the issue that we've been discussing in the Shurim and trying to understand the opinion of Rav Shimon, why when there's a Shilya discharged in a home, the home is not Tameh. Rather, Rish Lakish is making an independent statement. And Rish Lakish is teaching us a general din as far as Hilchos Tumah is concerned. And Rish Lakish is teaching us that there is no Tumah on a body, on a mace, that tsura, that's form has been obliterated. Actually, the question, if how to understand what the Gemara is trying to do with bringing here Rish Lakish's opinion, is really connected to another question. What is the proper girsa in the Gemara? One girsa in the Gemara is Shvir Shetirfuah, that it was actively, vigorously obliterated. If that's the case, then that isn't speaking to the Shilya that we've been discussing. Because the Shilya that we've been discussing, there's nobody have done anything actively to take away its tzura. It happened because that's what happened, that the mother discharged the Shilya. If that's the case, that if that's what Rish Lakish is saying, then indeed it's not connected to what we have been learning about. If, however, Rish Lakish is saying that any mace whose tzura has been obliterated doesn't give off tumma, it makes no difference if it was actively obliterated, or it was just obliterated on its own, then clearly Rish Lakish could be speaking about the Shilya, and will be teaching us that the Shilya doesn't give off Tumma. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Meishnes Nabu Tzurasa, Menolam Dator, from where do you take that such a mace that doesn't have any form anymore is indeed Tahor? Ilema, if you want to suggest that the basis from what Rav Shapsoi Amrav Yitzchak Medilah V'amrav Amrav Yitzchak Medilah Amrav Shapsoi Meish Nisraf, if you have a body that was cremated, the Shilda Kayemis, and its Shilda still stands, and we'll speak later and soon on Daf Chav Chesem and Aleph, what does Shilda Kayemis mean, it's Tamei, and Maisa Hoya, and he quotes a Maisa. But in order to understand the story, we have to say a word of introduction. We of course know that if there is a mace in a home, then that entire house is tamei. It's tamei, as we have learned many times, with tumas oil. And certainly, all of the passageways, the inside of all of the passageways of the house, are considered part of the house, and since they're considered part of the house, they too are tamei. Furthermore, as the Rishonim explained in the Gemara, any passageway that the door is open, the tumma spreads to the entire area of that passageway. The question is, if the passageways are closed, and there's a machlokes if the din that we're about to quote is a halacha l'Moshe Sinai, or it's a din de rabbanan. If you have a whole mace, so it's unlikely that the whole mace will be transported out of the home in any passageway that's less than 4 tefachim wide, because it would take the dismemberment of the mace, which of course is usur. Therefore, when we have a whole mace and we have passageways, closed passageways that are narrower than 4 tefachim, those passageways are tahar. Any passageway, however, which is 4 tefachim or wider, since we don't know which passageway will be the passageway from which the mace will be transported out, we have to treat all of the passageways, all of those passageways, as tamei. And therefore, says the Braisa, that when they had this mace, who was cremated, b'shulda kayemes, all of these small passageways were also tamei. Were considered, the large passageways were considered tamei, but tir lo psachim ktanim, the small passageways, as we just finished explaining, were considered tahor. And Reb Yochanan says that what was the diik Reish Lakish made for kedayik minei? You Reish Lakish made the following diik: tama the shulda kayemis. Only because the shulda is kayemis, that's why you say this tuma. And that's when you begin differentiating between the wider passageways and the narrower passageways. Holav hochi, if even the shildoi wasn't kayemis, you would say that it's completely tar. And that's the basis of where you're coming to say that once the tsura of the mace is no longer here, there no longer is any tuma. Says Rabbi Yochanan, adarabba, we can make the opposite argument. Doitmenei lahai gisa. Why learn this way? We should learn the other way. Shilda kayemis. Hu de tar le psachim ktanim. When the shilda is kayemis, that's when the large passageway are tamei and the small passageways are tahor. Halav hachi. But in the case where it's not shilda kayemis, psachim ktanim, not only will the large passageways be tamei, but since it's not shilda kayemis, so it's easily transported out of any passageway, then the psachim ktanim nami tameim, that even the narrow passageways would be tamei. The kol chad v'chad chazil afukil chaveiver, since it's not shilda kayemis, it's easily transported even through the narrow passageways. So Reb Yochanan is saying to Reish Lakish, your diik is that when it's not shilda kayemis and it's nisraf, it's completely tahor. My diik is just the opposite, that when it's shilda kayemis, so there will make a difference, a distinction between the large passageways and the narrow passageways. When it's not shilda kayemis, everything will be tamei, because I don't hold that the fact that it's no longer have any tzura, it should be tahor. Amle Reviner of Ashi, Rabbi Yochanan and Dama Kaman. So the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara is only focused on understanding Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Why is the Gemara not focused on understanding Reish Lakish's opinion? Is so the Mefarshim explain that when we look at the words of the Gemara at the bottom of the Chav Zayin of Abayis, it says, Mei Shenisra V'Shulda Kayemis Tamei. So the simple diik is actually the diik that Reish Lakish made. That as long as it's shilda kayemis, it's tamei. When it's not shilda kayemis, it's tahor. Reb Yochanan's diik is the difficult diik to understand. That Reb Yochanan says that what it means is that even when it's not shilda kayemis, it's going to be tamei if even the narrow passageways, which is not the poshut pshat in what the Gemara was saying. And that's why the Gemara is much more focused than trying to understand how Rabbi Yochanan came to this position versus trying to understand in Rish Lakish's opinion. Amalei Ravina Rish Ashi, Rabbi Yochanan Kaman, says the Gemara Rabbi Elazar. He follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Tanan, Eifa Serufim, if you have the ash of a cremated corpse, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shura Beroiva. If you have a Roiva Hakav of that ash, it's Tomei. It's interesting that I saw the Mefarshim ask that we just yesterday learned that when you have Rekev, if a Meis Rachmanu Tzlan decomposed and you have that dust, the shear is Moli Tarvin, a ladle full. And today we're learning that the shear is a Roiva by the Afer. Why is it different? Why is there different shear? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained Tfash Yisrael, based on the Ritzva, explains as follows. They say that when you have a mace, so you started with a mace, and what caused it to decompose, that's part of the dying process, so to speak. The part of the dying process is not just that it died, that the person died, but the Rachman Tzlan, he decomposes. So since that's part of the tumor process, the dying process, and dying is what brings tumah, obviously, that's why the shear is a roiva, that's why the shear is a smaller shear, just a moly tarvid, a ladleful. Here, it wasn't the dying that caused the mace to decompose. It was afer, the fact that it was burnt. It's something, nothing to do with dying that caused it to decompose. And since it has nothing to do with dying that caused it to decompose, that's why the shear is a different shear. The shear is a larger shear of a roiva hakaf. Ask the Gemara, Heichi domi nisra, meisha nisra v'shulda kayemis. What exactly is the definition of meisha nisra v'shulda kayemis? Om Rabaya, kigon shesurfu agabi katavla. Where the corpse was cremated on top of a hard leather block. So you have here pure afer, yeah, and it's all left in a mold, according to Rashi. Rav Amma, Kigon Shesarfu Agabik Adafris, who was done on a marble slab. And again, the way Rashi learns that it had still, it was kept in a form. Ravir Amma, Kigon Dachruche Achrufe, where the body was charred, but not completely reduced to ashes. So Mefarshim asked two questions in learning this Gemara. One question is the Gemara just finished explaining that the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that he follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, not the opinion of the Rabbanan, which of course is very difficult to understand. Don't we normally follow the opinion of the Chachamim, not the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, of a Yochid versus a Rabbin? And the other question that we need to understand as we learn this Gemara is that Rachman Otzlan, unfortunately, after the Holocaust, there was leftover afer, ash, of the people who were cremated in the concentration camps, in the gas chambers. And what is the status of that afer? If there's such afer in a museum, will that afer be metame, and a kohen may not enter such a museum if it has such ash? So actually, the two questions are very connected. Because, as we just asked, how does Rabbi Yochanan ignore the opinion of the Chachamim and follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? So some explain that Rabbi Yochanan hold that the opinion of Rabbanan is different when you have a Shilya versus when you have a Mei Sholim. And it could be that Rabbi Yochanan is speaking strictly about a Shilya, but only by a Shilya will he be following the opinion of that it's still Tamei. But by Afer, indeed, Rabbi Yochanan would agree to the opinion of the Chachamim. Another way of explaining that the Rishonim suggest is, the question is, if you have a Roiva Kav of pure mace, or you have a whole mace, what would be the halacha? The Rabbi Yochanan will hold that the Rabbanan will agree that if you have a whole mace, even if it's not Shildei Kayemes, the Chacham will agree that it's Metamo, even though it's Afer. Whereas, you know, Shlokish will disagree. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion could be even consistent with the opinion of the Chacham. So now, if we're going to say that according to Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation, even the Chachamim, under certain circumstances, will agree that Eifer is Metameh, then the halacha is that indeed the Eifer from the concentration camps would be Tameh. Furthermore, there's a very interesting psak from the Ragachava. Many disagree with the Ragachava, but they say that when the Gemara here says that the Eifer of a dead person isn't Tamei, that's only if the person was burnt before he died. But if the person first expired and then he was burnt, which was the case in the gas chambers, that they died from the gas and then they were burnt, then we don't have this heter. The Sri Eish takes great issue with the opinion of the Ragachover and the Tzofnes Paneach, but certainly according to the opinion of the Ragachover, the halacha would be that that Eifer of the Kedoshim that would died in the gas chambers would be Metama. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, Hamapeles Yad Chatucha V'Rech Chatucha, if a woman expressed a hand or a foot, Ima Tamei Leida, the mother has a Tumas Leida, V'Ein Chashem Meguf Otem Bo, we need not be concerned that maybe they came from an incomplete body. That we know that there is no din, as we learned earlier in Amasechta, of Tumas Leida if the child was a Guf Atam. Says the Gemara, Rav Chizda v'Rav v'Rafuna d'Amri Tavayu, Ein Noisla Yimei Toya. That even though we're treating this mother with Tumas Leida, we know that when a woman has a baby, so if it's a boy, she's Tumay no matter what for 7 days. And by a girl, she's Tumay no matter what for 14 days. And by a boy, she's tar afterwards for 33 days no matter what. And by a girl, she's tar no matter what afterwards for 66 days. Here we don't say that. Why? Because although we have to be concerned that indeed she had a child, and therefore she has a Tumas Leida. And not only does she have a Tumas Leida, since we don't know what gender this child was, we have to consider that it was a girl, and she's tumming no matter what for 14 days. We don't, however, give her Yimei Toyar, even the lesser amount of Yimei Toyar. The Yimei Toyar for when a boy was born, my Tama, because we need to be concerned, Eima Hakika Leidosa. We need to be concerned that maybe she had this child a while ago, and the days of Tuma and Tahara are over. Masa Rav Yosef asks Rav Yosef, we're going to learn in a Mishnah, in tomorrow's shiur, Hamapelis, when you do my pila, if a woman miscarried, she doesn't know exactly what she miscarried, Teshev Lezachal on the Kevel. So the Mishnah says we give her the Chumris as if it was a boy and a girl. That means we give her the Yimei Tuma of 14 days, and the Yimei Tahara only of 40 days. And that means she'll only be Tar from day 14 to day 40. Now, says the Gemara, Vis Al-Gadata, if what we just learned is correct, whenever we don't know if and when she had this miscarriage, we have to be concerned that it happened a while ago. And since we have to be concerned that it happened a while ago, so then she shouldn't have any, as we just learned, she shouldn't have any Yimei Toyar at all. We're learning that she has, from that Mishnah it seems that she has Yimei Toyar. Maybe she'll have a lesser amount of Yimei Toyar, but it seems that she does clearly have Yimei Toyar. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Itan Lanida, would that Mishnah have said Lanida, Havamina? What is the Mishnah trying to say? They were concerned that maybe she didn't have a child at all. And therefore, we know that when a woman is Yuledes, she has to bring two birds for a carbon, a Oila and a Chatos. So the Oilo, she could bring no matter what. And worst case, if she wasn't a Yoledes, it'll be a carbon adovah. But the carbon chatos ha'oif, as we've discussed many times, if it was brought misafik, cannot be eaten. Because we know that the procedure with the chatos ha'oif is that melika is done with it. And melika would make the bird into a nevela. So if there's a mitzvah to eat it, so of course it may be eaten. But here, if it's a safik, it shouldn't be eaten, because it may be a nevela that we have no right to eat. So if, says the Gemara, the Mishnah would have said l'nida, havamina, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is, mevi'a carbon ve'inanecho, she'll bring the carbon but may not be eaten, because maybe she wasn't obligated to bring the carbon, maybe she wasn't a yoledes, and then she may not eat the carbon because it's nevela. To avoid making that mistake, kamashmalon, that's why the Mishnah teaches us the nechal, that not only that doesn't say l'nida, to teach us that we're certain that she had a child. We're so certain, we could be so certain that she had a child, that when she brings the chatas oif for being o yoledes, it's even nechal. So I saw the mefarshim ask an obvious question. The Mishnah could have taught us the word l'nida to teach us that she doesn't have yemei tayar, but it might mislead us into assuming that she does indeed, have to not allow to eat the carbon. On the other hand, not say the word lanida to teach us that she could eat the carbon, but we may be mistaken in thinking that she'll get yemei tayar. So ask the mefarshim, if we think about these two possible aveiros, one that she'll observe, that she'll think she's tahor when she's not, or one she'll not eat a carbon when she could have. Which is the bigger aveira? Of course, the bigger aveira is to think that you're tahor when she's not, which is a lav, versus not eating a carbon, which she might be allowed to eat. So, why isn't it more important to teach us the halakha, l'nida, that she doesn't have the yimei tahara, than to teach us the halacha that she's allowed to eat the carbon? So one shot that I saw, that this Mishnah is following the concept of the koyach that teira adif. That we always prefer to teach kulas, leniencies versus chumras. And the leniency of her being allowed to eat the carbon is more of an important lesson to us than the lesson that she should not observe yimei toyar, which is a chumra. Another pshat that I saw is that it's obvious to the Gemara that everybody understands the concept that since we don't know exactly what and when she aborted, that we don't know to keep the Yemei Torah. And for that, the Mishnah, to teach us that halacha, the Mishnah didn't feel it was so important to teach us that halacha. But to teach us that we certainly can assume that there was a leida, and since we could certainly assume that there was a leida, she could even for sure eat the carbon and not be concerned that she's eating a nevela, that's a bigger chiddush, and that's why the Mishnah preferred to teach us something which is a chiddush. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hotzi uber es yada v'chzira. If a uber is stuck out his hand and then put it back into the womb, ima tmei leida. His mother already has tumas leida. Shenemar, as the pasuk teaches us by the story, when Tamar had the children of Yehuda, Zerach, and Peretz, and the pasuk says, "V'yehi belidit of yeten yad." As soon as he gave out the yad, it was considered that he was born. Ask the Gemara, Moshe Rabbi Yehuda, "Hoytzi uberes yadoi eina imay chayshesh l'chol davar." So you see that just sticking out the hand is nothing. Says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Huna, l'di mefarsh le'mneid Rav Huna." As soon as the child sticks out his hands, we consider her mother, the mother to have to mislead her. However, as far as the leniency of Yemei Toyar, La Yavina Law ad Nafik Ruben, until most of the body came out. Says the Gemara, but that isn't what it says. The Brisa says, Vayin Iman Cheshesh L'chol Davakamar, that we completely ignore his sticking out his hand, the baby sticking out the hand. On Rabbaya, says Abai, what the Braisa means to say is, Eina Cheshashis L'chol Dov Medaraisa. Medaraisa, we don't consider the sticking out of the hand to be anything. Amud Rabbanon, we indeed Achayshish, when the hand was stuck out. Asked him of a krakamid, has he quoted a pasuk? Answered the Gemara with Rabbanan. That pasuk is a Rabbanan, the cross smachta. But Alma, the pasuk is only in a smachta. But the rice that is sticking out of the hand is not have any halachic meaning. So Mefarshim ask, if at least midrabanon, the sticking out of the hand brings tumas leida, we still don't understand the wording of the brisa, where the brisa says ein imay chasheshes l'chol davar. Why did the brisa use those words? Ein imay chasheshes l'chol davar midaraisa midrabanon, there is a chash. So I saw that the Mefarshim answer that what the brisa was the word the rabanon that she's chasheshes was only exeyed rabanon. That came later. When the brisa was, when this brisa that we just learned was written, it was at a point where there was no gzeirat rabbanon at all that we should be choshed for. And since at that point there was no gzeirat rabbanon at all that we should be choshed for, the wording of ein imay chashesh b'chol davar is understood. But now Mefarshim asks, if indeed, as we're learning now, midaraisa, the hand emerging, has no halachic meaning, so then how do we understand the pasuk that we quoted, that the pasuk says vehi letitav vehi ten yod, if the yod means nothing? So the Aruch Chaim explains that indeed the mayaledes, the midwife who helped Tamar have the baby, made a mistake. She thought that the sticking out of the hand means something in halacha, but actually it doesn't mean anything in halacha. Other, the Torah Shleimus says a different shot. She also, of course, knew that just that the hand comes out doesn't mean anything. But she was under the mistake that if he stuck out his hand, that's pretty much an indication that the rest of the body, will, that he will be the first body to emerge. And therefore, as soon as he stuck out his hand, she put the red strand on his hand, the red thread on his hand, assuming that his whole body will come out first. But what happened was, Peretz, the other child, jumped out first. Says the Mishnah, Mapelas Tumtum Vandroidness. If a woman has a child with a Tumtum Vandroidness, as we've discussed many times in our Shiurim, a Tumtum is an individual who, the area where you could tell if he's a Zach on the cave is covered up. And an Androgynous is someone who has the Simonim of both of a Zohar and an Akeva. And as Mefarshim explained, even though normally when the Mishnah uses the word Hamapelis, it means there was a miscarriage, here it's difficult to explain that there was a miscarriage. Because if there was a miscarriage, especially by the Tumtum, we could cut open that area and see what he indeed was, a boy or a girl, as we're going to see, it has a Nafkamina and a Halacha. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't suggest that that should be done, it's obvious that we're dealing with a live child, and therefore we don't want to cut and do surgery unless it's absolutely necessary. So since we have here a tumtum and androgynous, that we don't know if it's a boy or a girl, so we have to give him all of the chumris. Teisha lezachol in the keva, and therefore she'll be tamei for 14 days, as if it was a girl, but she will only be tar for the balance to the 40 days, as if it was a boy. Tumtum and Zachar, or there was a, if the Tumtum and a Zachar were born, or an androgynous with a Zachar were born, Teshul was Zachar in the Keva. We have to treat the Tumtum as if he was in the Keva, even though there was a Zachar here as well, and we give all the Chumras of in the Keva. If we have a Tumtum in the Keva, or an androgynous in the Keva, so there, Teshul in the Keva of that, she certainly has Tumas in the Keva, because there was a girl born here, and therefore the tumtum, no matter what he is, the androgynous, no matter what it is, doesn't make a difference in the halacha. Yotze mechutach, if a fetus came out from its mother dismembered, or mesoros, or came out in breach, not head first, mishyotze roibo harei kiyolad. As soon as most of the body emerged, it's considered born. And we'll discuss this extensively in tomorrow's shir. Yotze kedarkoi, if the child was born normally, atchiyetze roiv roishay, until most of the head comes out, it's not considered born. Once most of the head comes out, it's considered born. Veizer roiv roishay, what is the definition of roiv roishay? Mishiyotze batakta, once the forehead comes out. And the Miri says, one of the ways to tell that Rav Roshay came out, is if you hear the baby crying, once you hear the baby crying, you could be comfortable in knowing that it was Yotzer Rav Roshay. Interesting to point out, there's a question that the Paiskim discuss, and that is, if a child was born with forceps, the question is, can such a child be a Bechor? Because as we've discussed many times, the Bechor is Peterechem. The definition in the Torah of Bechor is someone who's a Peterechem who came first through the mother's womb. Here, it didn't actually come through the mother's womb. The forceps are what caused the baby to be delivered. And there's a question, what is the halacha in such a situation? So there's really actually two issues that the Paiskim discuss. One issue that's discussed by the Paiskim is that it could be that the forceps are not considered a chatzitza. It's a miut, it doesn't cover the entire body, and therefore midaraisa may not be a chatzitza. Furthermore, the Paiskim suggests that even when a child is born with such a type of delivery, the head comes out first, and then the doctor takes the clamp to help deliver the rest of the baby. And as we've just learned, when the head comes out, the halacha considers the child born. And therefore, the fact that the rest of the body came out with these clamps shouldn't make a difference. As far as the halacha lemaisa is concerned, there's a big discussion amongst the Paiskim, the opinion of the Avinezer, the Chelkas Yaakov, and Chaim, I saw Reb Chaim Kanievsky as well, that they all hold that a pinyan event should be done with such a child, by such a bechor, without a bracha. On the other hand, I saw that the Chibina Rav, the Shar Mitzion Ba'alocha, the Sri Dei Reish, they all paskin that not only should a pinyan event certainly be done, but it should even be done with a bracha. Ask the Gemara. Hashta, if we learned in our Mishnah that a Tumtum Luchudei, an androgynous Luchudei, that they themselves are, we don't know how to treat them, and Teisha L'Zochel and Nekeva, we give them the Chumrah of a Zochel and Nekeva, so certainly Tumtum V'Zochel, androgynous V'Zochel, Mebaya, of course we should treat them, should have the same Halacha. Why does the Mishnah have to mention the case that there was a Zochel that came along with the Tumtum or the androgynous? Answers the Gemara Itzra. Because Madutema, however, Yitzchak, and we just learned this the other day, Isha Mazraz Tchila, if the woman emits seed first, you'll let it Zocha, then there'll be a boy, baby boy born. Isha Mazriya Tchila, if the man emits seed first, you'll let us Nakeva. Ema, we should think men the high Zocha, high Nami Zocha. So when the Tumtum and Androgynous came out with a boy, that should be clearly an indication that the Tumtum or the Androgynous are also a Zocher. Kamash Malam, Achas. We have to be concerned that they both emitted seed at the exact same time, and therefore, Zucha Zocher Vizuna Kedel. And the Mepharshim asked, haven't we just learned this Gemara already the other day, on Daf Chav Hei on the base, that we have this concern? So what is the Gemara teaching us this again? So Gemara says, because in that Gemara, where the Gemara said this, there was another teretz, and maybe that should be the proper teretz, and now the Gemara proves from this Mishnah that this is the way to look at when you have two children born, that we don't necessarily have to assume, or we can't necessarily assume, that the two children are from the same gender. Our Gemara now begins to speak halachas about tumtum and androgynous. And it's interesting, and it's particularly interesting to discuss it to us who are, we are finishing learning Shas, that the Tzlach asks that many times as we've learned halachas of we've learned many times in our sugyas and Shas the halachas of tumtum and androgynous, and the halachas that we're about to learn that apply to tumtum and androgynous were never mentioned. Why do we have to wait to this late point in Shas to learn these halachas? So the Tzlach answers that our Mishnah clearly teaches us that a tumtum and androgynous ought to be considered a sofer zocher and sofer nekeva. That's the whole basis of what our Mishnah teaches us, the teshuv l'zocher and nekeva. So there's no place that is more evident that the halacha considers a tumtum and androgynous a sofer than our Mishnah. And the basis of what Rav is about to teach us is all built around that concept that Atumta and Androgynous are Sveikis, and that's why we could understand our Mishnah very well. That's why we could understand the connection of what Rav is about to teach us to the Gemara, to the Mishnah we just looked very well. Amrav Nachan Amar Rav. Atumta and Androgynous Luban Adam. Atumta and Androgynous that expressed Loivin, which is Shechva Zera, Adam, which is blood, Ein Chayav Al Beis Mintash. Luvin is Shechva Zera, which is only Tamei by a Zohar. Adam is blood, is only Tamei by a Nekeva. So if they expressed red, this blood, or the Shechva Zera, we know that somebody who's Tamei may not enter the Beis HaMikdash. Here, we need not be concerned. There's no Isser, because we don't know for sure if he's Tamei. Vein Chayav Alayim is Truma. Vein Chayav Alayim is Truma. The halacha is that if somebody Tamei comes in contact with Truma, the Truma must be burned. Here we don't know if this person is Tamei, because we don't know if he's a Zohar in the Keva, so we don't burn the Truma. The Chazon Ish asks, even if we knew that it was blood, don't we need to have a Hargosha? And if this person doesn't know if he's a Tumtum or Androgynous, so how could he have Hargosha? So there's two answers. One answer is that, as we discussed many times in our Shiurim, the halacha may be that the halacha is that zivas tavalach, just feeling liquid running, may be considered hargosha, and that type of hargosha a tumtum and androgynous can have as well. Another pshat is that hargosha may mean that the person feels like a shiver, and that type of hargosha a tumtum and androgynous can have. What happens, asked the Achroinim Darach Laner, and the Miches Chinuch discussed this question, where this happened, and therefore we're learning that he's not Tamei, and ultimately the Tumtum is discovered that he is a Zohar, and he expressed Lubin. Will we then burn the Truma, and will we then be Mechayiv him for having gone into the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tamei? So the Miches Chinuch and Darach Laner say, as far as Tumas Migdash is concerned, then the halacha is that we would not be metamehim, because if we didn't know when it actually happened, if he was a zohar in the keva. They're not quite sure about truma. It could be that as far as truma is concerned, that if they touched the truma and we didn't burn the truma because we don't know if truma is tameh, and then ultimately it's discovered that he was a zohar and therefore he was tameh, the truma maybe should be burned. Continues the Gemara. Ruah, Lovin, Ve'odin, Kachet. Both of them came out from his body. So there's certainly Tumah, because if he's boy, he's Tumah because of the Lovin. And if he's a girl, he's Tumah because of the Odin. Ein Chayav al Beis Migdash. There is no Chiv al Beis Migdash. Avasar from Leim Satrumah. Shenemar, Mizocha ad Nekeva Tishaleichu. That's the passage that teaches us that somebody who's Tumah may not enter the Beis Migdash. Zocha Vadai Ve'Nekeva Vados. Vloy Tumtum and Androgynous. So even if they're Tumah, if they're Tumtum and Androgynous, there is no issue to go into the Beis HaMikdash. There's a question here too amongst the Achroinim that if this is only B'di'evit, B'l'chatchila, he shouldn't enter the Beis HaMikdash, or maybe what the Pasuk is saying, at least M'daraisa, there is no Isser for Tumtum and Androgynous who has this type of Tumah from entering the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, the Miches Chinuch says that this halacha isn't only said for the Machne Shechina, it also applies to Machna Leviya, because the Miches Chinuch explains that the din that certain Tameim may not enter into the Machna Leviya is not a separate din, it's an extension of whatever the din is in Machna Shechina. So if this din of not entering the Machna Shechina when you're Tamei doesn't apply by a Tumtum and Androgynous, it also will apply regarding entering the Machna Leviya. So Gemara wants to prove Rav's point. Let me say, because the Brisa says, "Tumtum androgynous, ro loven or adam, ein chayav al beis migdash. They're not chayav entering the beis migdash when they're tamei. They ain't suffering leimus atruma. Ro loven or adam kachas. They had both type. This individual had both of these types of discharges. Ein chayav al beis migdash. He's still not chayav entering the beis migdash, but tuma. Avas suffering leimus atruma. But if he touched truma, such an individual who had both of these types of tumtum and androgynous had both of these types of discharges." And he touched truma, that truma is tamei and it must be burnt. My tama, la mishum shenema, Because the Torah, when it speaks about Bias Midas, it says, Mizoch v'nekeve t'shalechu, Zoch v'adai, nekeve v'ados, when tunt v'nandrogynous. And that's why, even if it had both discharge, if he had both of these types of discharges, he still wouldn't be chayiv a carbon oil of yoyrid for entering the Beis HaMikdash. Am ula loy. This brisa doesn't necessarily support Rav at all. Because Hamani, we could say that this brisa is Reb Elezer, the Tanat, Reb Elezer Omer. The Torah says, regarding the Tumo, Hasheretz, the Nelam Menu, to read the words of the Torah at Doisha, I never shishtig b'chor at David Tomei, or the Nivlas Chai Tomei, or the Nivlas Behemi Tomei, or the Nivlas Hasheretz Tomei, the Nelam Menu v'u Tomei v'oshem, to teach us Hasheretz v'nelam Menu, Alherim Sheretz v'chayiv, that somebody became Tomei because he touched the Sheretz, and then he went into the Beis of Mikdash, because he forgot that he's Tomei. He's Chayav Karban Oil of Yorid. But ain't a Chayav Ahel Midrash. But let's say the person knows he's Tomei, but he didn't recognize that the place that he's entering is the Beis of Mikdash, he would not be Chayav Karban Oil of Yorid. Kiva Oimer, Benel Menavu Tomei, El Helm Tomu Chayav, he's only Chayav Karban Oil of Yorid if he forgot that he was Tomei. But ain't a Chayav Ahel Midrash. And obviously we have the question, Vamina Mai Benayu, aren't Reb Elezer and Reb Akiva saying the exact same thing? That the person knows for sure that he's Tamei, but he's not sure if he's Tamei because he touched the Sheretz or touched the Nevela, or that's the case. The Reb Elezer Sover, being an Adiyada, it's not enough that the person should have known that he's Tamei, he has to know why he's Tamei. Ibi Sheretz itmi, ibi Nevela itmi. Reb Akiva says, as long as the person knew that he was Tamei, even though he's not quite certain why he was Tamei, and then he forgot, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to be Chayiv Karban Oil of the Yerid. Now, says Reula, Lab Amar Reb Elezer Hasam, didn't Reb Elezer say there, being in the Yada, Ibi Sheretz Itmi, Ibi Nevela Itmi. You have to know if it was a Sheretz or Nevela that made you Tamei. He, Hoche Nami, similarly, Reb Elezer would hold, by the Tumtum of Androgynous, being in the Yada, Ibi Lovin Itmi, Ibi Oidim Itmi. Avol Reb Akiva, but according to Reb Akiva, as long as you know that you're Tomei, you're Chayiv, Hochinami, it could well be that the Tumtum, or the androgynous, who expressed both Loivin and Odom, so for sure he's Tomei, he just doesn't know what made him Tomei, the Loivin or Odom, will be Chayiv for entering the Beis HaMikdash, unlike what Rav said, that the Tumtum and androgynous that enters the Beis HaMikdash under any circumstances will not be Chayiv for entering the Beis HaMikdash B'toma. Ask the Gemara, Rav Maishna Bigis Middash Deloy, why does Rav say that if a Tumtum and Androgynous enter the Beis HaMikdash when they're Tamei, they're not Chayiv? The Ksib, because the Pasuk says, Mizocha Nekeve Tishalechu, and Rav says the Pasuk comes to teach us, Zocha Nat Vadai Nekeve Vados, only when it's definitely a male or a female, V'loi Tumtum and Androgynous. The din of Tumma, of going into the Beis HaMikdash when you're Tamei, wasn't said to a Tumtum and Androgynous. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, so such individual is certainly Tamei. Why? We said that the Truma should be burnt. Why? Doesn't the Torah say, Vazoiv Ezovoi Lezochel Nekeva? And shouldn't we learn the Pasuk to teach us that Zochel Vadai Nekeva Vados, only a Zochel Vadai or Nekeva Vadai have the ability to be Metame Truma, V'loi Tumtum and Androgynous? So just like we explain the Pasuk by Bias Migdosh to exclude a Tumtum and Androgynous, so too should we exclude the Pasuk by Truma to exclude a Tumtum and Androgynous. And says Gemara, that Pasuk is needed L'Chir B'Yitzchak. The Amar of Yitzchak, L'Zocha, L'Rabbis Es Mitzayra L'Mayon Arsa. We know that the liquid that comes out of the body of a Zov is Tameh. The Pasuk L'Zocha comes to teach us that the same din applies by a Mitzayra. Well, in the Keva, the rabbis as Mitzaraz, the teacher said that's done by Mitzaraz. Ask the Gemara, but the Pasuk of Zochav in the Keva by the Bias Migdosh also is needed for something else. Hainami Miboile, isn't it needed to teach us? But Mishieshloi Tahar B'Mikvah, only something that has Tahar in a Mikvah, there's a din that it may not be brought in to the Bias Migdosh when it's Tamei, and if you did, Yechayev Karbon Oil V'Yorit. Pratla Klicheris. Since a Klicheris, we know, cannot be purified, Klicheris, Shvirosan Zutarosan, we can't put it into the mikvah. Divrei Rabbi Yossi teaches us Rabbi Yossi. So how could we say, ask the Gemara, that how could you, Rav, say that Zochin Nekeva is coming to exclude a tumtum and androgynous from the din of B.S. Migdash? We need that pasuk to exclude Kli Cheres. Answers the Gemara, if that's what the purpose, if that was the sole purpose of the pasuk, imkei nichtav kra adam, and we could have made that exclusion. V'chitem, and if you'll argue, ikas rachmana adam have a mina klimat chesloi, I would say that only people may not enter, but klimatches may enter, even though klimatches have tahara be mikvah. So the Gemara, I know that kli cheres can't be brought into the base of English when they're tamei, because tamei lenefesh nafka zoch v'nekeva lomeli. So the Torah could have just written the word adam if all the Torah was trying to accomplish was to exclude kli cheres. Why did the Torah go out of the way to write the word zoch v'nekeva lomeli? Well, the Rav, to teach us the din of not entering the base of English with your tamei does not apply by a tumtum and androgynous. Ask the Gemara Emel Chulich of the Rav Hudasa. Maybe that's all the pasuk is coming to teach us, and it's not come to teach us anything regarding Kli Cheres. Answers the Gemara, if that was all the pasuk was coming to teach us, that Tumtum and Adroidness don't have the din of Bias Migdash Betumah, then it would have been enough Nichtav Zochav and Nekeva. My, why did the Torah write the words Mizochar and Nekeva? To teach us out Kol Dovishesh Leitar B'Mikvah, to also teach us that an earthenware Keli, which doesn't have Tar B'Mikvah, doesn't have the din of Bias Migdash. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the din, that the din of Bias Migdash doesn't apply by Tumtum and Androgynous, Kietme Vishat Tumas Loi Lishkuchu, why are we only speaking about when the Tumtum and Androgynous had the Sloven or Adon coming out of the body? Even if it had a different type of Tumma, it touched a Sheretz or a Nevela, or it came in contact with a mace, also the din of Bias Migdash should not apply, as Rav is teaching us, by a tumtum and androgynous. Answers the Gemara, even Rav, who says that tumtum and androgynous are excluded from Bias Migdash, it's only Amakrami Zocher, Mitumah Peresh Mizocher, Tumah that emanates from the body, and not any other type of Tumah. Of course, the Mefarshim point out that we've made this point previously in our Shiurim as well, that why shouldn't we be Machmer by a tumtum and androgynous because it's a Sofet Tumah Rishus HaYachid? So Mefarshim say that the source for Sofet Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Saita, and Saita is not a Tumah that emanates from the body. Where do we say the rule of Sofet Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tameh? Only by a Tumah that doesn't emanate from the body, as the model of Saita teaches us. Here we're talking about a Tumah, as we just finished learning, that emanates from the body. A Tumah that emanates from the body, we don't have the rule of Sofet Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tameh. Ask the Gemara, is this true that wherever the Torah uses the words Mizocha and Nekeva, Rav is going to teach us Lemute Tumtum and Androgynous Sudasa, and the pasuk is coming to exclude a Tumtum and Androgynous? For Gabi Erechim, we know that the Torah gives every person based on their age and their gender a certain value. The pasuk says Hazocher, the Tanya, the Gemara, Masechet Erechim, Tortoise, Abraisa, Hazocher, for like Tumtum and Androgynous. Yochel, we would think, lo yeh be'erich ish, they don't have to give the higher erich, which is by a man. Av yeh be'erich ish, they should at least have to give the lower erich. Tamalayma hazochav im nekeva, zochav vadai v'nekeva vadai, v'loy tumtum and androgynous. So what do we see from here, asked the Gemara? Tama, t'ksiv hazochar, only because the Torah used the word hazochar, and the Torah used the words im nekeva, that's why a tumtum and androgynous are excluded. Ha mizocha v'nekeva. Had the Torah just used the word zocha and nekeva on their own, lememat, the tumtum and androgynous would not be excluded. But we're learning that according to Rav, the pasuk by Bias Migdash teaches us that just the word zocha and nekeva on their own, without any other prefixes or suffixes, are enough to exclude a tumtum and androgynous. Says the Gemara, there it's different. Hahumi boilei l'chalak ben erech ish l'erech isha. If we only had the word zoch in the keva, we would say that the Torah is coming to teach us that there's a different erech, as we know, by ish and isha. And we wouldn't know that the pasuk is coming to teach us to exclude a tumtum and androgynous. Only because the Torah adds the hazocher and the im the keva, can we say that the pasuk is not just coming to teach us that we should differentiate between male and female, but the pasuk is also coming to teach us that a tumtum and androgynous are completely excluded from the parasha of Erev.